has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I've been filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Today again, as you have come, the Lord will speak to you.
Amen.
You will receive a bread for this season.
Amen.
You know, the angel said to Elijah, eat, for the journey is long. What you need to eat to overcome the journey, strength for the journey, receive it today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There is no challenge, there is no difficulty, there is no wall of obstruction that's in front of you that if you imbibe the bread from heaven, you will not be able to leap over. David said, I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. Why? It's because of divine strength. That divine strength comes from imbibing the bread from heaven. The bread that you need for this season, receive it today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord will speak to you.
Amen.
The Lord will speak to you.
Amen.
He will give you light.
Amen.
He will give you direction.
Amen.
He will heal all your confusion.
Amen.
You are going to come out victorious.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just sit down, relax. Good things are coming your way.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Now we have been looking at the walking of prophecy for some time. The walking of prophecy. And I think we are about to come to the end of it. Anybody who wants to listen to me actually has to be patient too. I'll take one topic and I'm on it for how many weeks? But you must learn. Yes, the Lord is good. The walking of prophecy. Now, when I began this, I just want to remind us what I said then. When I began this, I explained that even though the principles that we are going to be discussing apply, they are principles of the Word of God and the principles of Scripture. Therefore, they apply everywhere. But we actually are narrowing it specifically to our situation in this nation. I'm speaking to the church in this nation. And I believe it's by the Spirit of God telling them the assignment that God wants them or wants us to perform in this season. And we began by looking at a prophecy that a man gave around 1986. When, yes, even though there was corruption there, but it was not widespread as it is now. When I was younger, if a policeman wanted to collect money from you, he went to your boot. It was inside this boot. You opened the boot. Two of you put your hands inside. That was the only way. He dared not collect it openly. And nobody had video recorders. There were no cameras, hidden cameras. But that's just the way it was. All right? I remember then. This was before this 86. But now, the Lord is very good. If you know what I mean. People are very brazen about it. So this man said then, by the word of the Lord, he said Nigeria and Nigerians will be known for corruption worldwide. In fact, he used more words, but this is a summary I just picked up somewhere. He said, well, after a while, the tide will turn and the nation will be known for righteousness also worldwide. He said, it will happen that many will take hold of one that is a Nigerian, saying, we will go with you. For we have heard that God is with you. He said that people would come and learn righteousness. They will follow. And let me tell you something. Changes like that happen in the world. When I was a child, to see something that was made in Taiwan was an insult. Now, it is twice as good as anything made in China. That is the reputation now. The Taiwanese shook that reputation off their shoulders. Now, those who import machines and equipment, they go to Taiwan for consistently good products. They do that now. I remember when I was young, to say it's a Taiwanese product was actually a very, I mean, you're insulting. You know the way you say, in fact, you know the way it is right now. I don't want to insult any country. We've had all kinds of jokes about the woman who married a man from that country. And then she had a child, and the child died a few days after birth. And the woman said, I should have known that there's nothing they make there that lasts, including the child that the man made. And she's the mother. Now, that's how Taiwanese products were when I was young. Yes, I don't know. Okami, do you remember? You do. Why are you pretending like you remember? Huh? You know about it. You do. Okay. Who else knows about it? When it was there? Okay, okay, yeah, the two of you here will know. You choose, are you pretending like you know about it too? Small. Yeah, but you see, that was the issue that those days, to see something was made in Taiwan was an insult. They consistently made very low quality products. But you know now, it's not like that anymore. I have friends who deal in machinery, they import products. When they really want to get good quality, they head for Taiwan. Reflecting the price. This iPhone you are carrying at the time was made in Taiwan. It was made by a company called HTC. Yes, you know HTC makes phones too. Yeah, they were the ones making iPhones at the time, assembly, coupling, everything. I'm trying to say that so such things have happened before. Don't think that this prophecy is so. No, it happens. It happens. And I believe that we have seen what God wants to do. This has been declared to us. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Things like this have happened before. But what we are just preaching now is that don't just sit down and wait for it to happen. You have to activate prophecies. You have to activate prophecies. Prophecies are activated. Prophecies are activated. I just want to remind us of it. Three ways we said we activate prophecies. Can you remember? Number one. We said three warfares. Remember that. Warfare of what? Prayer. Prayer. We read from Ephesians chapter 6. All right. We talked about put on the whole armor of God. Praying with all manner of prayer. Okay? So there are different kinds of prayer. All of them necessary for the activation of prophecy. Then number two, warfare of what?
Words.
Words and further prophesying. That is, when the prophet has issued a prophecy, we have a duty to repeat that same prophecy, and we have a duty to utter the words of scripture as prophecy. That these things release the power of God into the air. And if you were not around last time, okay, please go and listen to the message we preached last Tuesday. We took time out to release a lot of words against iniquity in the land, because you see, he said we'll be known for righteousness. Means that God is going to uproot iniquity. Do you get my point? And last week, that's the very last message. It's already on the website. If you're following us by podcast, you can just check it out. But if you have a problem with your podcast catcher, just go to our website, pastor.ng, about the easiest website to remember, one of the easiest in this country, pastor.ng. Okay? It's a long message, about 2 hours and a few minutes long. Please listen to it. Pray along. Go over it again and again. Those of you who booked the message here, please pick it up at the end of today. Please share it with people. I want Christians to pray those prayers. Okay? What we are doing by those prayers is saying to God, uproot iniquity from around us. It's important. Remember this. If God doesn't do it, if you allow the land to be polluted, you will be affected. It may spare your life, but may not be able to spare your car. It may spare your life, may not be able to spare your bank account. It may spare your life, may not be able to spare your business. Right? And this is history from scripture. Okay? I mean, God spared Lot. You know what he took away from Sodom and Gomorrah? Nothing. Nothing. Materially speaking now, nothing. Nothing. God spared Jeremiah and told him, that's the only thing I can give you, your life. Bear it in mind. Okay? God spared Noah. What did he take along? Nothing really. Just his, I'm not counting the human beings like family members. A few goats. You know, the animals were counted. So maybe he had 10,000 sheep. God said, bring 7. Did you notice that? Of all the clean animals, he brought 7. So whether they were his own or not, we don't know. I suspect they were his own. He left the rest. Told the cows, I'll see you guys next time. Took 7 of the cows, 7 of the sheep, 7 of the goats, 7 of all the clean animals. The ones that were not clean, like his dog, he took Bingo and Bingoless. I don't know what else Noah had. Couldn't take anything. So it's important. That's why God said to Israel, I'm going to take you into a land. I know the thoughts I have for towards you. Thoughts for good and not for evil. But for what? To give you what? A future and a hope. He says, so what will you do? You will pray for that land. Seek the good of the land I'm sending you into. Entreat the Lord for its welfare. Because if I want to prosper you, I have to prosper the land too. I hope you are getting my point. So that's why it's important we preserve the land. And what pollutes the land is iniquity. What pollutes the land is what?
Iniquity.
Sin pollutes the land. Sin pollutes the land. There's something Christians need to understand. This prayer has methods. It has aims. Prayer has methods. It has aims. What I'm trying to say is this. If a man and his wife are having issues and you want to pray for peace in their home, you don't, peace, God will answer the prayer for peace, but he has to correct the man. He has to correct the woman. I hope you're getting my point. That's what I mean by methods. The result we are looking for, there is a method to it. So our prayer must address the methods. We can pray for the peace, but then God has to. And that's why prayer can have deadly consequences. If God is determined to bless somebody, anyone who's determined to stay on the way of that blessing, God bulldozes the person. I hope you're getting my point. That's why husbands and wives should be careful. If a husband wants to obey God, a wife wants to obey God, hey, pray for your spouse. Because this God we are dealing with, he's slow to anger. You know why he's slow to anger? I'll tell you. He knows how bad his anger is. So he doesn't like to get there. I told you once I had this understanding. It was some years ago. Can't remember exactly what happened that day, but the reason I was so upset with my wife, I decided I was not coming for Bible study. I already made calls, please, I won't be around. You guys do this and that. And the Holy Spirit helped me to understand. My spirit said to me, so what are you going to say when the Lord comes? You first go to Kingdom World Ministries at 5 p.m. on Saturday and say, where is Banky? And Israel will probably answer that he's not around. So you will now go to the house. You know, God pretends, he behaves as if he needs information from you. Where have you laid him? Did you notice that? Jesus didn't say, I perceive in my spirit that this is where they laid Lazarus. No. He said, where have you laid him? So how long has he been like this? Jesus used to ask questions. He came to the garden and said, where are you? Couldn't they see could you not see Australia from there? Assuming they were somewhere in Africa, he could see the other end. But he asked Adam, where are you? So probably would have asked, Banky, where are you? I said, over here. I'm in my house. So he comes. What are you doing here? What scared me was the answer I was going to give him. Because I realized that the Bible says that husbands, do what? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself up for her. That he might wash her with the washing of water by the word. I hope you're getting my point. He was redeeming her. He was not accusing her. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. So it dawned on me that I couldn't stand as an accuser to say to the Lord, the reason why I cannot do the work. Listen, in case you did not know, I may have not have told you before. The only reason I came to Enugu was to come and preach. Yeah. Every other thing is added to that. When I came to Enugu in the year 2000 to come and take my appointment in university here, it was the second time in my life I was stepping my foot into the state and into the city. First time being around 1989 when I came as a medical student for a conference in UNEC. So what gave me the boldness to just walk into a place which I had almost never been to? Let me summarize like this. I heard the call of God and I knew he said, you are going to Enugu. From there, and I told my wife then when we got married, when we get there, we will start preaching. So as soon as got to Enugu, I started Kingdom World Ministries. Started with writing tracts, organized one program that There's one guest house there. That woman has a devil. Somebody has a devil. That woman has mammon. You know, mammon was worrying her. Mammon spoke to her. Betrayed Jesus Christ. She did the wrong thing. Eh? Let me not go over there. But I'm not angry with her now. I'm just looking at what mammon does to people. Apart from her mammonic spirit, we had issues. Well, not serious issues. That the program was so successful, the whole of Enugu gathered that they will not come. 3 days, the last day was just my friend. It was my wife, me, and my friend. And I was a preacher. Before my friend came, the only person in the congregation was the wife that I married, who had no other choice but to come. That's how I began in Enugu here. We rented our former office as a cost. It was cost-benefit analysis. How do you guys say it? That I checked how much we spent for that program. I realized if we decided to rent a small hall, bought some chairs and all of that, it was cheaper. That was the reason why I started teaching every week. It was not my plan initially. Well, okay, now you have rented the hall. What will you be doing? Okay, let's begin every Saturday to hear the word. Then one day I said, you rent it for a whole week, you use it once a week. Does it make sense? I said, let's do 2 times a week. See, that's how we... The point I'm making is that the only thing that brought me to town was to come and teach the word of God. So that if God will ask, where are you? On the day that I appointed in the week that I should be preaching, I will not be an accuser. And I will say to him that the woman you gave me has obstructed my ability to deliver your ministry. Two people are in trouble. You know the two people are? Me and the person I accused, who I was supposed to be her intercessor. As soon as, because God had given me understanding before that, as that thought ran through my head, I instantly got dressed. Pulled down, you know when the Bible says, put the flesh under. People say it's when you are fasting. No, it's when you want to do what is wrong and you force yourself to do what is right. That's God putting the flesh under. So I got up and quickly came and preached. And the Lord who is so good, he knows they disappoint. Once I agreed to preach, he put anointing. I'm not joking about that. All it needs for me to just agree. Once I agree to preach, he will put the anointing. All I need to do is agree. Whether I'm angry or happy, is irrelevant. Once I just step and they say it's preaching time, he will put anointing. There's something that he does for me so commonly, it's very, very common. In fact, it's happened. What today is what? Tuesday. It has happened twice in the last 3 days. I enter into a hall. In fact, some of them, they've done praise, worship, they've done everything. They've taken Bible reading. It is time for me to step up. As they are calling me, sometimes I'm already moving towards the platform. That's when I know what I'm supposed to preach. As I just open the scripture, as I'm reading like this, the whole message just played itself in my head. And I'll start preaching. And people say, we're tremendously blessed. It was not me. I didn't plan what I'm telling you. Of course, that day I came and I preached. And the Lord blessed his people as usual. What am I going to say? I realized, I'm just giving an example of what I understood, that if anybody stands in the obstruction on that pathway, so that's why as a husband, as a wife, please pray hard so that you will not be an obstruction to what somebody who God has joined you with wants to do in the path of obeying God, both man and woman. Please, I hope you are getting my point. It's very important. How did I get into that? Anyway, what was I saying? There's a method to prayer. There's a method to, like I was saying, I will now give an example. If you want to achieve something, God cannot bless, for example, somebody's in disobedience, you can't pray a blessing to the person's life. What you can do is to pray suspension of what? Judgment. While the Holy Spirit corrects, trains, explains, teaches, and then the person does what is right before he can be blessed. Is the reason why God sent Jacob to the house of labor. Because even though Jacob wanted the blessing. The blessing couldn't manifest in the life of that funny guy called Jacob. So God sent that funny fellow to the house of Laban until he became Israel. I hope you're getting my point. Then God's blessing could now manifest. What am I going to say? So you have a prophetic word like this. There are certain things that must be done. The prophet says things like, many people will take hold of one that is from this nation, saying, we will go with you. That wouldn't happen except it trains the people in righteousness. That would not happen except it uproots iniquity. That's what I mean by method. So that's what we start doing. We start waging warfare with our words, with our prayer, with our prophesying. We start saying to God, remove. That's what we did last time. We read from, if I remember well, we read Psalm 45, 52, I think 53, 58. Okay? What we're doing is altering the word of God against iniquity. Let's bear those things in mind. We must do them repeatedly. Wake up every day and pray that prayer. Now, if you are praying it, you have to bear something in mind. The fact that you are praying, it doesn't mean you'll be spared from the consequences. If the prayer applies to you, if you say God uproot iniquity, you have to first uproot yourself from iniquity. I hope you're getting my point. Let me tell you something that will make you laugh. But I know it to be spiritual truth. I watched it in one of these Manzano movies. A man will cause the death of his daughter. You know, these are cults and ritual kind of thing. The woman now went to her, the girl's mother went to her parents, her aged parents. To they now say, we must find the root of what happened. So they took the woman to some thick babalawo inside the forest. And those ones say, this girl died? They say, yes. They say, no, they perceived that she was used for something. They say, they do, they know. So they conjured up a spirit to go and avenge the death of the young girl. The spirit came out of the fire and killed the two babalawos. Why? They didn't know that they were the one that traveled to go and do the sacrifice on the other end. Do you get what I'm trying to say? They were the ones that, they were the head like of that cult. But, you know, when God wants to punish you, he won't let you know. So it was close to them. They didn't think about it. He said, whoever caused the death of this young woman, they handed the spirit a sword. The spirit got up, turned around and killed the two men. The woman and her parents, they turned and ran away. But the spirit didn't have their time. The people, the first people he killed were those babalawos, because they were the ones that did the sacrifice that led to the death of that girl. You can go and watch the movie. Or like, what's the title? You don't know that one. And that, did they do a Hausa version? So you didn't watch it. It's the day issue. In English, the subtitle is Bondage. Yes. It's a very beautiful movie, actually. It's beautiful that it's a series. It's about 10 to 14 parts. I'm not very sure. 12 or 13. Between 10 and 14 parts. Oh, yeah, season. It's old now. That is not less than 20-something years old. Oh, no, it's old now. It's not new. It's not new. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is this. Please, you have to separate yourself deliberately from iniquity. The fact that you are the one praying against it does not mean you will be spared. What it just means that the husbandman that labors must be what? First partaker. So whatever you are getting engaged in prayer, apply it to yourself first. Which is why we'll talk about three things. One, the warfare of prayer. The warfare of what? Words and further prophesying. And three, warfare of holiness. And that's what I want to focus on today. The warfare of what? Holiness. Let's read this particular scripture. I want us to ask ourselves a question. Well, we may not have to read it, but let me just refer to it. There was a time that, okay, in John chapter 1, if you read, I discuss this truth in the book Worship and Sex Control. And I want to recommend that if you haven't read the book, please go and read it. We have some physical copies at the back. You could purchase a copy. But if you are the read electronically type, then you don't have to pay any money. You just download it for free. To download it, just simply type this link. bit.ly/readwsc. WSC is in capitals. Every other thing is small letter. So for those who are listening, You can download it because you are online anyway. That's how you can listen to us. You can download that quickly. It's just about 2 megabytes, 200 and something pages, but it's free. And you can share the link with people and please let them read the book. They'll be blessed by it. For those who like to read paper, you'll have to pay for the copy that you get. And I think we have them here at the end. Just try and get a copy. But in the book, I explain this thing, that people are the ones that allow spirits into the earth. I explained it there. Spirits run into the earth through or on people. And that's what Jesus taught us in that John chapter 1. You see what he said in verse 50. Well, let's just start from verse 40. I'll jump a few verses, but I'll start from 43. He said, the next day he proposed to go into Galilee and he found Philip. He said to that one, follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. In 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. That is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. In verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and he said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? They are never met. And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now notice, Jesus was not there when Philip called him. So how would Jesus have known that he was under a fig tree? Nathanael was overwhelmed. So Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, indeed, oh, yeah, you are the man. He said, you are the son of God. You are the king of Israel. And Jesus was surprised, in quote. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the tree, do you believe? He said, you will see greater things than this. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's what I wanted to read. For angels to ascend and descend, there's a role that somebody plays. The kind of spirits that come into the earth is dependent on the kind of persons that are available there. I said to us the other time that one reason God took Job through what he took him through was to bring a different level of blessing onto the earth that was not there before. You must understand that before God released a kind of blessing, in fact, many of the technological advances we have experienced on this earth, people brought them in. And I don't mean those who developed them. I don't know whether I get my point. I'm not talking about those who invented materially. There is a spirit of invention that God brings in. It rides upon the spirits of certain people. And those people you may never know. So you see somebody who says there is no God invents the fastest computer. And for many people, that's a sign that you don't need to believe for there to be advancement. You don't know. That spirit was brought into the earth by somebody who acknowledged God. But once the spirit is there, you just see all the laboratories worldwide, if you go and check most of the time, is who hits it first that gets the credit. That's not the only person working. That's why the internal combustion petrol engine, two people developed it almost side by side. Sometimes they don't even know each other. One is working in America, and that person is working somewhere in Europe. In fact, the conflict often is, who do we give the credit to? This person only seems to have the credit because he was closer to the news environment. Later on, they now start revising history that he was not the first. Yet you found that the two of them did not know each other. They did not study from the same schools. But suddenly the spirit of the invention came upon both of them, close to each other, in different places. And they brought out inventions without referring. There was no internet then. People didn't even used to travel so fast across the world. The reason is because the spirit of the invention was there. And anybody who dabbled into science could drink of it. You didn't have to be a Christian. You didn't have to be. You just needed to have your mind tuned to the things of the spirit. For example, to see visions of the future, you don't have to be a believer. You don't have to be. Nebuchadnezzar was not. Was he? Pharaoh was not. God granted him one. And Nebuchadnezzar got his own when his mind turned, began to worry, in quotes now, concern himself about the things that will happen in the future. That is why, please don't be impressed. A man crosses his leg and tells you who will win a match. Those matches were played before the day of playing. Who's playing this week? Huh? Why is Nigeria and Ghana playing? Which? Okay, they are doing World Cup qualifiers. Okay. Forgive me. When I was even asking, I was thinking about UEFA Cup, Champions League and funny things like that. And I was also thinking you mentioned the name of one of those European clubs. I will now catch you and say, what about Enyimba? When is Enyimba playing? Not that the joke was on me. I didn't even know Nigeria was playing. I hope you know the match has been played in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
They finished playing it like 6 weeks ago, spiritually. What we want to watch now, tomorrow, is a replay. That's why some people who know how to do spiritual things, they can go and watch it yesterday and place their bets today. Those is used to call Baba Shaw Banker. Have you ever heard of Baba Shaw Banker? And those people, God used to use them to ruin people's lives. When I was in university, I had these roommates that were much older than me my first year. One day we were discussing. They said there was one, pools betting. One of them knew about pools betting. He said one day one of his guys, they gave him this course for the following week. One baba gave it to him. The guy didn't believe it. He didn't do anything about it. The following week, when the thing came out, every single one, how do they say it now? He entered. There was someone they used to use before. Every single one locked, sha. The guy was like, yeah, why didn't I believe this man last week? I would have sold my father's house, sold my grandchildren's inheritance, and placed on the bet. Now, what people don't know, it is one thing God has given to destroy people. Next week, he will do that. That will be the only vision God gave Baba Shaw Banker. The guy will lose everything. Yeah, no, actually it's possible. Sometimes God grants people. They watch the match days ahead. And they'll be telling you, Ronaldo is not going to score in this match. Like, how is it possible? He'll tell you, these underdogs will win by margin of 2-1. Ronaldo will not score. As soon as they start, Ronaldo's team will put in one. Whoa! And you're like, The guy is just looking at you. Those guys will reply in the 80-90 minutes. And put the final one in 4 minutes of injury time. You will look. How did you know? The guy is a match we watched yesterday. You are watching it on the earth today. That's how spiritual things are. Look, if you know the way spiritual things work, time in the realm of the spirit is different from the one you are seeing here. Things that want to happen next year, they've happened, they're happening right now. If you can use the word now for them in the spirit. That's how prophets see things. That's how prophets see things. Yeah, that's how spiritual things work. So I'm trying to say something here. So things ride, let me not get too far away from the main thing I began with. Things ride into the earth on the spirits of people, ride on individuals. And when it's inside the earth, people now start tapping into it easily. They now start telling you that, there are keys to being a multi-millionaire in dollars before you are 30. If you read this book, I think it's Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, you will see certain principles inside there. What I want to bring out from there is what Malcolm Gladwell explained, that if you notice at that time when I was writing the book, most of the billionaires, the top level billionaires in the tech world that time, they were in the same age bracket. Bill Gates, Larry Ellison, Steve Jobs, and all of that. I just listed them. You see, all of them were in like the same age bracket. And I was trying to explain something. So do you think it was their sense? If it was their sense, one guy should be 61, the other one is 40. He was trying to prove that it was a season. There was a season. That a season came for such things. So those were in, it fell upon them. And he talked about a lot of things. I don't want to start explaining those things now. But for you to understand, all right, that those things, it's not just one person. So people don't realize sometimes they say, Nigeria just needs to gather itself. And then I said, listen, if that thing has not been poured, there's no intelligence you can use to bring it down. There's no intelligence you can use. Occasionally, people like Job, God will raise them up, and for certain reasons, all right, or through certain spiritual activities, he will bring a new level of blessing for their sake unto the earth. And that's what Jesus Christ is actually as a person. And that's what each one of us is supposed to be. Now, please bear this in mind. So each person is introducing a spirit into this earth. There are those that, you know, the Bible talks about Jeroboam and the same thing in the household of Ahab. Not only did they sin, you know what they did? They caused Israel to sin. They led many in the way of unrighteousness. They caused Israel to err. They released a spirit of error into the atmosphere. So God poured the judgment upon their household in a very severe fashion. Not just because of their sins, but for what they caused Israel to sin. There's a man, I will not mention his name, even though many people are aware, those who know. And too many young people listening to me, they don't know. You know what? When I tell some stories, I just assume everybody knows. I just like some of these boys were running around naked when those things were happening. Like people like this is his face. When I talk about SAP, you know, to me, in my mind, SAP is a recent thing. So every adult should know SAP. I did not know that those who were born during SAP are in their 30s now. So if anybody is less than 32, 35, he did not experience SAP. He was sucking breast when SAP was happening. You're feeling guilty, aren't you? I used to talk about SAP. Like, one of our brothers wrote me once, somebody was being Enugu here with us. He went for an interview, sent me a message that he has a question about SAP, structural adjustment process. What is SAP? I don't mean SAP when you cut tree. You know that one that comes out. No. It's called structural adjustment program. So they interviewed all of them. That was the only person, they said, which president introduced SAP in Nigeria? That he was the only person who got it. And how did he get it? He heard me talk about it. So he said, Oga, thank you for digressing here and there. Of course, the interviewers are impressed. Like, oh, he said, you know, the Lord is good. Now, so there's a particular head of state in Nigeria. He was credited with normalizing corruption in this nation. I won't tell you his name. You have any idea? Leave it like that. He was credited with it. Before his government, all right, corruption existed, but it was hidden. After his government, people were not ashamed of it anymore. People openly asked for their court. You go to a government office, they give you a contract, say, oh boy, I think it's 15 million. Or God say how much is it? And they are saying in the reception. So boy, I beg, 15% our gown. 5% on it in our own. And they are discussing it openly. It's brazen. In the name of Jesus, those days are over.
Amen.
We call them, those days are over.
Amen.
We don't believe that we'll just totally eradicate. I mean, as long as there are sinners. We'll say, let corruption go where it belongs, under the cover. Go and hide. Let it be that once we expose you, you are going to jail. You are losing your job. The other day, they said to some immigration guys, you saw the story, two of them obtained money from a 14-year-old who was traveling internationally alone. When the mother went on social media or the father, immigration now released a shameful statement. What I call shameful, they said they have removed those people from the airport, they have given the money back to the family. I said, shame on you. That's supposed to impress me. How much? Okay, 10,000 naira. 20,000 naira, you have recovered, returned to the family, and you have bounced from the airport. I didn't see them being paraded. Yes. Ah, I said, what kind of insult is it? Why are you insulting my intelligence? Shameless old man, you saw a 14-year-old traveling unaccompanied, and you stripped her of all the money that was on her. And your guards felt that they have pacified us by sending us a letter that we have collected the money back from them. What rubbish is this? You think the money is what worries us? They did not even tell us they fired the people. They said they will not work in the airport again. How shameless can whoever be the guy who signed that thing be? People are incredibly shameless. Don't issue a statement. We are not angry with you. Just say, okay, we have dealt with the situation. You are telling us that the people will never go back to the airport. Please, I pray that those guys will get take a visa and go to America and that they will do that in America. Then you will send us a letter from Hush Puppy. Please, I hope you're not angry that I'm angry. Are you angry with like me? You're angry like me. If you are righteous, you'll be angry like me. You should be angry like me. Nonsense and ingredients. What's wrong with that word, ingredients, anyway? You know, there are things you just hear and say, eh? One expects to see two men paraded. That these are the people who harass a minor. I love Americans, but now he'll be in court. Say, government won't do you anything. The parents will sue you for causing emotional distress worth $14 million. They will negotiate your sack into the settlement. The Lord is good. Oh, where was I? The head of state who introduced, not SAP, who talked about SAP? I didn't say about SAP. I just use SAP to tell you your age. That's all I use SAP for. No matter how big your behavior is, even if it's as long, some of these guys, young men, go and grow beards now so that they can be pretending like they know SAP. You don't know SAP. You are the one I'm talking to. That was what I used SAP for. I'm just saying, so there was a time somebody normalized corruption in the nation. And listen to me, you have to be careful what you introduce into a place. I went to a teaching hospital once. It was a man that introduced seriousness everywhere. It was the chief medical director. Everybody had his name on their tongue. And they used to refer to him by his first name. Let's just assume that name is, his first name is Fred. You go to a place, tell somebody, please, can we sit here meanwhile? They say, sorry, this place is for patients. Say, we won't take more than 5 minutes. Say, please, I don't want Fred's trouble. Fred may walk in any time. So we can't stay here. Say, no. Fred said, this is for patients. If you are doctors, you go to the other side. Ah. He was a funny human being. He was a very responsible person. He could walk into a clinic, and the doctor supposed to be there is not there. He sits down and starts attending to the patients. So when you come in late, he doesn't need to tell you anything. He doesn't need to tell you anything. He will just get up and tell you, oh, doc, I was running the clinic in your absence. And then, you know, your conscience will bring out a sword and be stabbing you like this. I heard that once an orderly and the theater nurses, they did something that was a bit kind of, the theater was not prepared. So, and then everybody could reach him. So the doctor was supposed to operate, went, picked the phone, and called the chief medical director's office to report the situation. So he said, okay, you're not starting the surgery, why? That place is not yet cleaned. They've not prepared the theater. So the man said, all right, if I clean it myself, will you start your surgery? The guy hung the phone. Arranged people, and his own is that, please, somebody has been starving since yesterday. You have a problem with the person in charge of the suite, the theater suite. I will solve that later. But you're a man. The doctors with you are men. They have hands. If you move, get this thing done, then write me a report after. The guy made everybody serious. Drivers washed their cars. Doctors were at work. That is, if they said be at work by 8, 7:55, everybody is there. He didn't have to fight you. He set an example. He introduced a spirit of seriousness. Now, the point I'm making from all of that is this. The man introduced a kind of spirit. There are those who get into a place, everybody become unserious. Our guy is unserious. So the spirit of unseriousness will enter into the place. You can introduce corruption into a nation. We've had leaders that did that. They make you look at everything is sorted with cash. You make people sell their conscience for cash. After a while, young people think that's the way forward. That's what we prayed the way we prayed last time. And we'll say it again. If you are using human sacrifice to advance politically, economically, we have doomed you to failure. Yeah, it won't work again. We have asked the Lord and he has heard us. Amen. That he will not receive those sacrifices from your hands. Your words will not be heard before his judgment throne. Amen. He will not release wealth or promotion in your direction.
Amen.
Yes, because we are children of God. That's what we ask him to do. And our main concern is that we don't want anybody to think it's the way forward. Because we are filling the land with violence. That's what people do. They fill the land with violence. We need to arise and uproot that violence out of the land. And please, I want to warn pastors who thrive. Those people, they know what they do. When they collect money, they give you your portion. They know what they are doing. They silence every voice. Yeah, they do. They don't know those people. They silence every voice. Because the people that lead them in spiritual things, they know, they tell them that, listen, these voices that if they rise up against you, they will spoil this thing. So the man goes to church and he drops an offering so that you will know he brought an offering. But the Holy Spirit, who's so righteous, will let you know this offering is not clean. That's why, look, I thank God for the wisdom he gave me. I swear for you before you come. Is that English okay for those who don't speak Nigerian English? That if you come in my direction, the Lord will just punish you for coming. So that even if I took your money, you will suffer more than me. Don't even come. They know what they are doing. They silence voices. They do. They do. Just preaching against corruption, against corruption. And they give you 1 billion naira. So let's start seeing where the gospel can reach. That is how we Christians lie about when we want to collect money. With this money, we can preach. No, the guys, you can't preach because his preaching is not about money, it's about the spirit also. So when they withdraw that spirit, that's what they came to do. That's why you see some of these very criminal boys. They carry briefcases for pastors. You'll be wondering, yeah. I hear some stories, even in Enugu here. Boys of questionable character will build the whole church. And the pastor has not asked, oh boy, which business exactly are you doing? I told you the story of my friend, Pastor Courage. How in the church, one man came to the church and he was a heavy giver. You know what they call heavy giver? Have you ever received alert before? Email alert and the computer is vibrating. Normally, his phones are vibrate. This one email alert will come. And the governor will just go, ping, ping, ping. Ah, what is going on? Oh God, alert, alert. You look. Listen, I'm in ministry. Eh? Good alert in ministry account is good. Ah, is it not so? And I tell him, say, I'm that we're to broadcast on 20-something radio station. You think anyone is free? There's no radio station that has come and say, Pastor, we perceive that the Spirit of God is upon you. And because the Spirit that's upon you, come and be preaching here free of charge. There's nothing like that. They will say, we like what you are saying, but our bill is, I know people that they will be hailing me, the pastor, the fire, yeah. Not give their money first. They don't call Yinka. Uncle Yinka, how far? We've not heard from you people, though. No, at the end time they see me, they are praising, the work you people are doing, the word your pastor is releasing, Nigeria needs it. Give us 1/4 free of charge now for where? So when I'm telling you that alert is a kind of food. Have you ever heard that song before? Alert is a kind of food. It's good. So my friend said this guy came to their church. Half of all the offerings they collected, only him gave it. Yes. If the offerings, all the income in a month is 1 million, and only that guy gave 500. He said for the first time we could plan. We could say, okay, we'll do this, we'll do that. He said, but every time the guy gave money, he was unsettled. So he went and prayed. He prayed, finally. He summoned courage and said, brother, so, please wait and see me after church. So that one waited. He said, my brother, since you came here, you've been a blessing. We thank God for your life. May the Lord bless you, prosper you. Prayed for him very well. He said, there's only one problem. Every time you give, me, I can't sleep again. He said, tell me, my brother, what is going on? Where's the money coming from? That's when that one answered, Pastor, God will bless you. Said, I've been looking for pastors that will challenge me. I've been to many churches, nobody has. So you are the first person. He said, we steal the money. He now explained the machinations by which the money is stolen from government. There is a front for his guys are in Abuja. They route the money. Then he will go and collect. Then send it back to them. They give him a massive cut of the money. So to and he's a Christian, born again Christian. Oh, why do you think he came to church? Ah. If you think, hey, that's what pastors should do, you are not there yet. Because suddenly the man is back to where he used to be. But he told him flat, I'm sorry, you have to stop. But of course, it was clear from that day, whether you stop or not, don't give us money again. No, that one was clear. That one didn't need negotiation. So the next issue now, how will you stop? I think the man had to resign the job. Yeah, that was the only thing he could do. Those people know, they know what they do. They silence pastors. Remember the story your guy gave us? A man was under the anointing. He prophesied. Politicians went to him with a bag full of forex. Oga, lay hands on me. Transfer that anointing to me. When man of God saw money, see dollar, remember? He says, he lay hands, came all over Akusha. The Lord said. And the guy collected the money, put it inside. My God. And that one came and said, I heard that your prophetic word, sir. Put the anointing on me. He didn't even tell that one, I've given somebody else. You know, this was, Jacob came first, Esau came. He said, anointing still remains, don't worry. Now, what many of those people don't know is that Satan was silencing them. Say, no. If you don't dethrone Mammon, God can't use you. He can't. The money we are talking about, if I tell you, you run away. We're not talking $5,000. You remember? Judah. Some people don't even know what's going on. That is pastors. A man prophesied, he said in his church. That's the church in Abuja. He came to their church to preach. And he said that in this church, you know, just like you hear me say all the time, he doesn't believe in being partisan. He's not PDP, he's not APC and everything. Then the chairman of one of these political parties in Nigeria now met him and said, Pastor, pray for the first coming election in this particular state that our candidate will win. And the man said, no, I don't pray such prayers. The will of God must be done. God's will must be established. We pray for righteousness and justice. He was speaking English. That guy opened an envelope. Brought out $10,000? Brought out $10,000. The man of God said, follow me to the altar. He dragged him by the hand straight to the altar and began to prophesy. I bind anyone that will say your candidate will not win. We approve their counsel by the anointing upon me. Ordinary $10,000. In fact, the angels are even angry. Say, Pastor, what you have done is bad. But even if you wanted to do one for good money, sir. Let's even say they gave you $1,000,000. We can understand the temptation. At your level in life, 10,000 can make you change the word of God. That he took the money is not my problem. It's that he did not know it was evil. He testified about it himself from the platform, talking about the power of your seed. Yes, he was talking about the power of your seed. Because the man he prayed for won, which we know is not because of his prayer. Yeah. Rubbish and nonsense. It was nice. Prayer didn't count for anything. So he was telling the church, say, you see, even when God has spoken the word, you can change it with your seed. So today, I'm going to bring a seed. You hear it all the time, don't you?
Yes.
Satan is silencing the voices of believers. Silences the voice of prophets. That's the only thing he can do. Listen to me. I said that in trying to explain something. Well, look, in Jesus' name, we're not saying we are strong in ourselves. Well, that's what my message is going today. We have also prayed for ourselves. And Jesus has prayed for us. He said, Lord, keep them from the evil one.
Amen.
We are kept from your temptations in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But this voice will continue. Not this voice, sorry. These voices. Because not just me. These voices will continue to declare the prophetic word of God into this nation.
Amen.
Again, we say it, if you kill anybody to be established in an office, we uproot you from that office.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, let that person not sit on that office.
Amen.
Let him lose that election that he killed a human being he sacrificed to win. Let him lose.
Amen.
But let the word go out into the air in Nigeria.
Amen.
That human sacrifices don't work.
Amen.
That they don't work.
Amen.
That they don't work.
Amen.
That they don't work.
Amen.
It's better to jump and fall into the lake and die if you want your Yahoo to work than for you to sacrifice a human being. Did you hear what I said? He said they do Yahoo plus. That is Yahoo plus or Yahoo minus. From today, it's Yahoo frustration.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Better go and work hard. It's easier for you. In this country, we refuse that this kind of evil will continue to prosper.
Amen.
To not prosper anymore.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
How did we get there? We'll find out how we got there. Abi? We'll continue talking. Eventually, we'll get back there. The Lord is good. So the point I was making, all right? Remember, I went into that angle trying to say that, you know, people like to silence voices. If we continue to raise our voices against evil, God will cancel this evil in this land. So I was saying, what rides through you? What rides through you into the earth? Not that's where we began from. Jesus said, angels, they are ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What is riding through you on this earth? What is riding through you on this earth? It's important. Many times we Christians, we have to bear that in mind. That's what Satan wants. Why do you think Satan said to Jesus, bow to me, I'll give you everything. He was going to ride into a new sphere of influence. And let me tell you something, money is nothing. It's just one ephemeral bait of the devil. That's what it is. He just goes around baiting people, tell Jesus Christ, bow to me, I'll give you everything. And God allows those tests to test our sense of value. You've heard me say this as an illustration many times. If a young girl comes to me and says that a lecturer is harassing her, that if she doesn't go to bed with him, she will not pass an exam or something like that. My level in life now, I won't pray about that lecturer. I think he's a normal person. I think he's a normal person. For him to want to sexually harass a girl, it is normal, sir. It's an unbeliever. Does he look like my church member? And it's not my concern. The girl that comes to me, I'll say, so what do you want me to do? That's my first question. Because for me, I would have said, okay, you know it's a no-go area. We're not here to discuss. I don't want the man to die by fire. I want you to go there, go and look him in the face and say, no. Certain things are no-go areas. That's the point I'm making. I'm not saying the man is good or righteous. I'm just saying it's not a temptation. If you come to say, oh, God, I want to kill somebody. Say, why? The man said, if I don't sleep with him, and I'm not going to sleep with him, oh, God, I'm going to kill him tomorrow. Hey, then we know we're talking. And I say, my daughter, my sister, don't kill somebody. Jesus Christ will not be happy. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Vengeance is not yours. Let us commit him to the hand of the Lord. As for you, pray for his soul. So he can be saved. Then I can talk to you. But if it's like, oh, I don't know what I'll do. I don't want to fail. I will slap you and fail you myself. Really, if the gist is, I don't want to fail you. You know, sir. The other time, I will slap your face and fail you myself. If I have the opportunity. But if you told me that, sir, see the knife I have sharpened. I'm castrating somebody tomorrow. Uh-huh. Then I'll be counseling you. Ah, my sister, no. Police will arrest you. Because I said in this life, we have to learn to resist sin. There are things I don't I mean, for a Christian girl, that's not a temptation. Anyway, it's only a temptation if you have been sleeping with everybody else in the class apart from the lecturer. Oga, na lie? Yes. If you are not doing that, you will look at him and say, Oga, does Babylon go down and not rise again? Say, me, as a child of God, I declare impotence upon you and your children. The man will say, I wouldn't concern my children. I don't care. They are eating your food. No sense. There are certain things that are not temptations. That's the point I'm making. Let's get it clear. Certain issues are not temptations. Somebody comes to your office and says, change this figure, we'll share the money. Say, oh God, that's not a temptation. I don't want to die and go to hellfire. Tell them like that. I told them when I was serving, that was a trick I used to get people off my back. I served in one very remote area of Taraba State. I was a medical doctor. People would come to me. One guy came and said, Ada, he needs to see me. See me about what? So I should do my dad, that doctor that was there. There's one guy there that time that he needs to talk to me. What can I do for you? There's this girl that lost something. They called it in a period. They are looking for it. They can't find it. She missed her period. And this nigga is the one responsible. So I said, okay, so they tell you I'm St. Anthony, the patron saint of missing things. I looked at the guy. Say, I will help him. I said, I can't help you. Ah, he said, why not now? I said, if I do, I will die and go to hell. Ha! No, that was very good. I said, I help you to terminate a pregnancy. I will die and go to hellfire. Who wants the doctor to die and go to hellfire? Nobody. Ah, the guy was looking at me like this. You can't even tempt somebody with serious temptation. You call that one temptation. How much do you want to give me? Money that I wouldn't even buy a car those days. I used to tell him, I said, no, I don't want to die. You know, it's very simple. Just tell that lecturer, say, good afternoon, sir. My pastor said, if I sleep with you, I will die and go to hell. You will go too. Let me tell you the truth. Amongst all those random men on campus, your nickname will be Hellfire. Everybody, I believe hellfire alone. And when God wants to stamp, you know, when he wants to stamp his approval on your character, one of them will not have an accident and die. After that, when you come, say, anything, can I help you? Your script is on the other side. Take it and go from there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What are we allowing to ride into the air? That's the point I'm making. For us to be effective warriors, to activate the prophecy of God, we have to have a personal determination that only righteousness will ride by us into this earth. Please remember, every temptation is trying to silence your spiritual voice. Don't forget that. It's not about money. It's about spiritual power. Many of our ministers, we sold spiritual power because of money. We sold it. Tell the truth, we can't. Why? We've been paid to shut up. And we don't realize it. That when Satan said to Jesus, bow to me, I'll give you everything. You have to understand, a typical businessman will not offer you ₦1 million if the thing didn't have more than ₦1 million in value. Otherwise, a bad business person. So when Satan came and said, bow to me, I'll give you everything. It's obvious what he was going to get from that bowing. He's much more than everything that he was going to give. He was going to silence the voice of the deliverer of mankind. He was going to silence eternally the voice of the Lamb of God so that he would not be able to give himself for the redemption of mankind anymore. He knew what he was gaining. Remember, temptation for you is not about that material thing. If somebody is buying your spiritual voice, somebody is buying your ability to talk in the realm of the spirit. One day, people are going to appear before the judgment seat of God. Not for personal judgment, but as advocates and intercessors on a particular matter. And God will be sitting on his throne to say, let's determine the destiny of this country. And he will sit. And the word of God will be presented. And there will be advocates on the side of Jesus, intercessors. And as they rise up to speak on the other side, the accuser, say, that one can't talk. She does not believe. And the Lord said, why do you say so? You show the picture of when the person sold the destiny for a morsel of meat. Oh, that one cannot speak. He doesn't believe. Why do you say so? Accuser will stand again and show when the person sold the destiny, the voice, the spiritual power for a morsel of meat. And after a while, Jesus will look. And only him and one or two people are standing. And God will count. And see, they are not up to 10 righteous, in quote, 10 now, depending on the number that he's looking for, who can stand and speak for this nation. I adjourned this case for another 50 years. Because if I wanted to close the country, but Jesus would say, please have mercy. Give me time. Let me dig around it. Peradventure it will bear fruit. And the Lord will say, case adjourned for the next 50 years. Then Jesus will send another Paelton from somewhere. That will be going from one place to the other, preaching the gospel again. Be going from one place to the other, preaching the gospel again, raising people. And Satan will come again and say, what do we do? We have money, don't we? Say, yeah, oh yeah, now let's follow him about. He start buying anointing again. But listen, this is the word of the Lord. You know, Jesus said something. He said, Father, keep them from the evil one. Lord, we pray for every saint of God in this nation that they will be kept from the evil one in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. Lord, we pray for the church in Nigeria. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
People of God, the reason is that we want our voice to count when the Lord will sit on his throne in judgment. We don't even want him to adjourn the fulfillment of this prophetic word for the next 40 years. For the next 50 years. Why? Because that's what we take for the Lord to gather. You must understand. He said, the kings of this earth, what did they do? They gave their power and their authority to the beast. He said, but the Lamb will overcome him. Why? He's the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. How will he do it? He said, those who are with him, they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Listen, for the Lamb to overcome the beast, he must have with him the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Those who do not love their lives even when faced with death. Those who stand for righteousness no matter what. That's why we say the warfare of what? Holiness is warfare. We stand every day and fight for it. You must understand. Jesus said that there are people who are men have made eunuchs. He said, but there are those who have made themselves what? Eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. Not because they hate themselves. Because they saw that something is in front. That no, I have to become a eunuch to attain to it. So what is the kingdom of God like? A man sees treasure buried in the earth. He goes back home. He sells all that he has so he can buy that field. That's why I said it before. That thus says the Lord to the church of God in Nigeria. If you want this nation, I will give you. Yes, I say it again. That the Spirit of God says, if my people want this country, I will give them. And what am I doing? I'm teaching what it means to want it. Because they will give you the destiny of the country and give you $1 million. Say, take one. Because that destiny we are talking about, sometimes, it means you will not prosper the way your friends are prospering. But God will let you know that in the time of your children, it will not be like this. What about me? You will depart and be gathered to your fathers in peace. You know, that's what he used to say. So I want to enjoy it. He said, no, not in your season. But lay something down spiritually as a foundation. For the people that will come after you. Do you know many people walk away? Many walk away. What do you mean? Me too, I must hammer. What do you mean? These cars that they are driving, me too, won't I drive it? You know, when we were young those days, we thought to be a man of God meant that you had to be well known like Bishop Oyedepo. We thought it meant that you should be known like Pastor E. Adeboye. We thought so. We learned, you know, went to school of ministry. To learn church growth principles. You know, when I grew up, I realized that's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. It's nonsense. Each man has his own call in life. Each man has his own duty. What each person needs to do is to fulfill the call of God for his or her life. We are not in a popularity contest. We are not. Our God is not even involved in it. But the fastest growing church is as satanic as you hear them come. Fastest growing church doesn't have any meaning. The way we talked about the denomination, this is the fastest growing denomination in Nigeria. It's so meaningless. I've seen those denominations that are growing fast. Like my friend would say, cancer is a growth. Talking about church growth. He said some of them are cancerous growth. Growing with body of Christ damaging cells. Growing, but with cells that can't help anybody. They sap resources from the rest of the body of Christ and don't achieve anything. Which is what cancer does. Cancer will sap resources. You see, one useless tumor is growing somewhere, the whole human being is losing weight. One stupid category is growing. Gospel is not advancing. It's a cancerous growth. That's what cancer does. Saps money. They bring out the money, buying brick, buying mortar, buying rod, taking pride. Praise God. And on God, I can do this. You don't know, you sapped resources from everywhere that growth was needed. Because you wanted to feed your own sense of fulfillment, which is nothing but flesh. If a child builds a big building, it doesn't impress me. I'm not saying it's bad, though. I'm just saying I'm not impressed. Just a building. It's just a building. But if I go in there and I see how much effort you put in to get it done, and I see that you were dragging resources from other things, and I know God didn't bless this. That's what I tell people. If you are building a house and you can't dash it with 50 cobwebs again, you are not building for God, you are building for Satan. I'm not joking. Don't think of it. I mean what I'm saying. That house building you are doing is not blessed. When people be building house, everything around them will collapse. Oh yes, they are building a house. Every day that thing around them will collapse. Their children will eat again. Because daddy wants to build a house. Every excuse, you know what they use for excuse every time? You know we are building. You're an architect, you've seen them before. Foolish people, your clients, some of them. Some of them are even owing you money. Are they not? Why? That is wrong growth. I tell you, you are not blessed. If you are living like that, you are not blessed. You should know, you are not blessed. God, that one you have built so far, go and sell it. Pastor, what did you say? Come on, go and sell it and go and pay rent. It's in the Bible. You will live in houses you did not build. So don't worry about building that one yet. Go and pay your rent. Some people are building their own, their landlord. Wickedness. In fact, you have your father, the devil. If I'm your landlord, I'm kicking you out tomorrow. And the day I find out, I will kick you out. I'm going to kick you out immediately. I say, hey, Mr. Jalekoko, I hear you are building a house. I say, we thank God. I say, no, don't thank God right now. When you get to the street, you thank God. 2 years you have not paid the man, yet you have been buying cement. You have been paying the architect. No, I'm sure the guy is not even paying yourself. He must pay. You have gotten to know them. So you hold your money first. Yet you are owing the landlord. I think it's wickedness on your part. It's wickedness. You shouldn't do that. I pray that the man will eject you so that you will learn. Will embarrass you. He will sue you and paste the notice at the door of your street. The one at your construction site. It is wrong. That's a cancerous growth. Growth that takes resources from every other thing. And is producing something that's not productive. That's not moving the body of Christ ahead. It's not right. Listen, I realized it long ago. I'm not against churches who are growing fast. I hope you get my point. I'm just saying that it doesn't mean anything. If you are growing fast, we thank God. Actually, we don't know who's growing fast. That's the point I'm making. I've seen churches that brag on their size. You go in there, talk to two people, you know these people are not born again. You just know they are not born again. They just come to church to come and play. Catch them after service. How was service? Oh, wow, it was glorious. What did the pastor say? The pastor preached powerfully. What did he say powerfully? God is good. Pastor is anointed. What did he say with anointing? Oh, the service. The presence was present. They can't tell you one thing the man said. You know why? My sheep hear my voice. They are not the sheep. They don't hear anything. They go there, their ears are blocked. They are not born again. Where those who are not wise, they are counting the numbers. Say, today, we cannot say we are 4,000 in 4 services. 1,000 per service. This church is growing. Somebody put your hand together for the Lord. The Lord said, did I perform for you? That you are putting your hands together for me. I'm talking about the warfare of holiness. We pursue holiness with aggression. And let me just end with this. We don't attain holiness with our own strength. That's actually where this message is going. This is our school of prayer. We attain holiness with what? Prayer. We attain that walk of righteousness in prayer. If this prophetic word is going to come to pass, it will come to pass first in our lives. Paul says something. He said, take heed to yourselves. He was talking about the shepherds in Ephesus. First, take heed to yourselves and then to the flock. So there's an order. God expects you as a child of God. You are a prayer warrior, we know. You are praying for the prophetic word of God to come to pass in this nation. But God said the husbandman that labors must be first partaker of the fruit. When Paul wrote that to Timothy, before we used to think that, listen, if you labor and it produces fruit, like maybe I pray for you, I preach to you, then you make money, I must be first partaker, we must chop the money together. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying it is wrong, but there are other scriptures for that. When Paul said the husbandman that labors must be first partaker, I read it again to Timothy. He was saying, Timothy, as you are preaching, it must show first in your life. That's what he was saying. He said, Timothy, when you preach on holiness, we should see it in you. He said, when you preach on faith, you can't be walking in unbelief. Timothy, once you preach on forgiveness, you will first hear it yourself. You will first learn to forgive. He said, the husbandman that labors must be first partaker. That was what he was saying. So we pray. Corruption will die. God said, I know. But we die first, where? In your life. We pray that, unrighteousness will not prosper. God said, I heard you. In removing the prosperity of unrighteousness will happen first in your life. You that is saying it, as you utter words against evil, go into your heart and pray. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. So that's how you pray. That's where it starts from. That is where it starts from. When you say, the wicked will not prosper again in this little land. God said, you will remove wickedness from you in every bit. When you open your mouth to speak, it must be words of truth. When you deal with people in business, you must be honest. You must be honest. You must be above board. Your testimony must be like that of Daniel. In the affairs of the king, negligence, corruption, none was to be found with this Daniel. So that must be your testimony. That must be your testimony. Like we say, why do Christians do business? One of the things we say, to get a good name for the Lord. You should get to a point where your name is synonymous with honesty. It's synonymous with integrity. So the guy told us it's going to be 3,005 each, and we'll have to pay him for like 15. That's how many he bought. Say, hey, do we need to cross-check? Say, no, don't worry. So and so person. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, one day I got the testimony. I felt good. I felt very good. I won't lie to you. To the glory of God. He said, we're supposed to retire some money and all of that then in the hospital. You know, I was heading a particular unit. So I was explaining to some people, look, how they are supposed to do it. I said, they didn't tell me ahead of time. He said, Doc, don't worry. Just meet the people, explain what happened. He said, it's you now. They know you. I heard it from more than one person. He said, is it not you? They know you. So just tell them how it is. They will believe. I said, Lord, thank you very much. I thank you for that. Really? That man just kept on emphasizing that, no, you are worrying too much. There's no need. Is it not you? Just go and talk to them. They know you. I said, Lord, what? Thank you. I won't lie to you. This was a few years ago. I gave God the glory, but I won't lie to you. I felt good. Paul said, I have coveted no one's goods. He said it with pride. I like one thing Pastor Tumi said once. He came for a program. We invited to our fellowship to speak for about an hour. And he said something. One man was talking about Nigerians being corrupt. He said, I told the man that I can stand on the top of the Empire State Building. She does in New York. He said, and I dare anybody that's ever given me a dollar to pervert the course of justice or before I got something done. Say, I dare anybody in the whole world to stand up if you ever give me a dollar. You know the truth? You know it's doable. Yeah. It's doable. You know I told you before? The worst that will happen is what? The worst that will happen is, you will die now. But remember, when you are dead, and if it's me that's dead, let's remember what we're going to write. This man here died believing God. That's all. That's the testimony. You know, God will snap it and put it on Instagram. And he does such things. He will let the person die. He will not carve it, he will not snap it, put it on Instagram. That thing will be a testimony to all those who are afraid to die and they are disobeying God. No, God does funny, funny things. One reason why I kept Job in the scriptures, so that you won't tell him, because I suffered, I disobeyed God. God will say, you suffered. What did you suffer? Excuse me, what did you suffer? Before this temptation, you were poor. After the temptation, you were still poor. So God said, what did you suffer now? Let me show you what they call suffering. The richest man in the world, at least in his region, one day, next day, he was flat broke, poor. One day, a father of 10. Abi, how many children do you have? Was it 10, Abi? Next day, a father of none. One day, a healthy man respected by the whole society. Next day, a man that was so sick, people covered their noses when they approached his presence. A man who wished for day when it was night, and then wished for night when it was day. Who said, oh, that I was in the days gone by. When my children were with me. When the friendship of God was upon my tabernacle. He looked back, is this me? He said, you now say you suffered. At the beginning of this, your trial, you were flat broke. At the end, you were flat broke. Your change, there was no change. And you say you suffer. All you experience is disappointment. That's all. And you're coming to tell us you suffered. Because if I send you to hellfire, you will know yourself. Come on, repent and start obeying. So Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't suffer. I've been normal. I repent of thinking I suffered. When you look at Job will stand. That's why God put Job there. He will stand in testimony against many people. God said, come now, did you suffer like Job? Did Job deny me? He said, I don't know what you give him and drink, because he said, I gave him my spirit, he drank it. I offered the same spirit, you didn't drink it. I offered you the same spirit, you refused to drink it. That's why I complained about the fact that, you know, what's wrong with this country? One guy said one thing the other day, I said, my God. I stumbled into it on Twitter. How many people know Peter Okoye? The governor of where now? What is he? P Square. Okay, I want to be sure you know who I'm talking about. He's a brother, one of the P Square. So the guy tweeted one nonsense on Twitter. One rubbish. Said somebody should tell him what is working in this country. And that guy replied, said Nigeria made you and your twin billionaires. I said, oh boy, upper cost. Whoa! I saw that tweet. I retweeted it. I said, nonsense. The guy answered him straight. He said, what's happening? What's working in this country? He said, this country made you and your twin billionaires. I want to go to New York and go and try it. You'll still be dead, you know, bouncing on the street, Central Park. You sang in Nigeria, the whole world heard your voice. People shouting. I was talking to my friend the other day. He said, look, that if you see an African watching Netflix in America, he said they are watching Nigerian movies. I always listen to Nigerian music. I say, nothing's working in this country. Look at that stupid boy from Port Harcourt. The one that won Grammy. The boy is totally stupid. Don't say me, I know the joke. Say, this country, nothing's working in this country. If things were working, I would have won the Grammy 4 years ago. I said, if God doesn't punish you, unless you repent, that statement offends my soul. Look, the only way, don't think Pastor, you are very wicked. I have my reasons. Because I offer him what? Repentance. What nonsense. I heard him say, he said, Grammy, I deserved it. You deserved it? You don't know God, though. There are things you will say,
And his children was not here. I heard you, you're in trouble. Say, if this is a country where things were working, I would have won Grammy 4 years ago. Did you hear what I said? Say, I would have won Grammy 4 years ago. I said, is that so? He said, God, I felt like getting on my knees. I said, God, collect it back. You know God has a way of collecting those things. You just go and yell one or patter somewhere. One transphobic comment will drop from your mouth. They will collect their thing back. The Lord is good. People just, they will just be talking nonsense. Anyway, that one, I offered him repentance. I'm not saying God, but that repentance, he must read. Do you hear what I say? That repentance, he must do what?
Read.
He must read. He must repent. He must repent. Don't be insulting God's goodness over your life like that anyhow. Oh, what was I preaching? The warfare of what? The warfare of what? Each one of us must dedicate. Let's rise to our feet. We must dedicate, Lord, I will bring a good spirit into this nation. Start with a spirit of gratitude so that God will not destroy your works. It's important to, that last statement, I'm not joking. If you are not grateful, he will destroy your works. Some people will say, Pastor, self, you like to bless the swear for person. I have to teach people the fear of God. I have to. If you are not grateful, he will destroy your works. I'm not the one that said it. Say to the Lord, let a clean spirit ride through me onto this earth. Let a clean spirit, the spirit of gratitude first of all, the spirit of faithfulness. I wanted to pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, I yield myself. Let the spirit of gratefulness, gratitude, faithfulness, let it ride through me into this nation. Say to the Lord, I yield myself. I want to pray. That's an important prayer. If there's going to be a revival, it starts with you, it starts with me. We must determine, say in the name of Jesus, that I will be an instrument of righteousness. I yield my members as instruments of righteousness. It is important. I yield my members as instruments of righteousness. I yield my members as instruments of righteousness. Concerning the prophetic word, Lord, you gave to this nation. If everyone was like me, it will come to pass. Say to the Lord like that. That is my prayer. That if everyone was like me, it will come to pass. You know what I mean by that? Yes, that the spirit of righteousness. I want you to pray to the Lord, you know, with seriousness. Dedicate your member, every part of it. Lord, say my thoughts, my words, my actions. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. That's the prayer. That's where the prayer is. Say, Lord, deliver me from doing evil. Now, you have like a minute or two for that prayer. What does it mean to deliver from doing evil? You know, he said that deliver, how did he say it again? Lead us not into temptation, but what? From evil. That's what, but what he actually said, if you look at it in context, lead me not into temptation, deliver me, Lord, from yielding to temptation. That's what he was saying. Now, pray, Lord, don't let me yield to temptation. It's only through temptations that Satan can silence your voice. Pray like it's important to you. That, Lord, let me not yield to temptation. Especially for the God of Mammon. That is one. It's very, very crucial. We are talking about corruption. The God of Mammon is looking for who to recruit. Say, Lord, let me not sell my destiny or the destiny of this nation for a morsel of meat. It's not by determination. It's by prayer. So pray like you need it. The Bible says he was ahead in that he feared. Anyone can fall for the temptation of the enemy if the Lord does not help him, if the Father does not deliver him. And that's why it becomes a prayer point. Say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Deliver me from evil. It's a prayer. Jesus understood it. Do you know how Jesus resisted? It's through prayer. Don't think he resisted because he was the Son of God. He resisted because as the Son of God, he knew how to pray. Because as the Son of God, he knew how to tap into the grace that the Father gave. Because as a son of God, he knew how to yield himself. That is it. So yield yourself today. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, your plan, your destiny for my life, for this nation as it concerns me, the part I'm supposed to play will not be scuttled because of iniquity. It will not be scuttled because of sin. It will not be scuttled because I yielded to temptation. I'm asking you, strengthen me so that I will not yield to temptation. Say, Lord, strengthen me so that I will not yield to temptation. That's the prayer you are praying. They are going to come tempting, for sure. But Lord, let me be prepared. He said, in the days of his flesh, what did Jesus do? He cried with loud cries to him who was able to deliver him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. People say he heard because of his piety. The Bible says he heard because he feared. What is the fear? The fear of frustrating the counsel of God. Sometimes I think about myself. Some things I say boldly from this pulpit. And I realize something. Satan will not send an assassin after me. It wouldn't work. Because even if I died, the voice would be amplified. Satan understands that would not work. So if I want to stop that voice, he has to go with temptation. He doesn't have many. When it comes to men, especially, it's just two that are the main things. There are other small ones. But it comes with money. It comes with women. Those are the things it comes to people. That, for preachers, mostly that money side. Mammon. Competition. This ministry is the biggest. We have 15 branches. We're on 17 international radio, television networks. We're on 50 radio stations. You want to brag. You start doing it as a bragging point. You don't have anything to say, but you must be on all the radio stations. Why? Because somebody said he's there. You are building 10,000 seat capacity. You're not even up to 200. Why? You know, that's how he gets ministers. That's how he shuts our voices up. And I've noticed one ministers, once they fall for the temptations of mammon, adultery usually follows them. That I have noticed too. I wrote in that book, Worship and Sex Control. Once mammon takes hold, please, that's why you must pray. Listen, don't be like Peter. Oh, please listen to me. Don't be like Peter. I will never deny you. I will never deny you. It's a wrong word to say. How do you pray? Say, Lord, may I never deny you. That's a different statement. Pray this evening, Lord, may I never deny you. If they put a gun to my head, may I not deny you. If they put me before the fiery furnace, may I not deny you. May I not speak words against your counsel, O Lord. May I not depart from the place you have kept me, pursuing after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Pray that prayer. Say, Lord, strengthen me so that I will stay in the place of assignment. Search me, O Lord. Say, Lord, deliver me from wrong company. Scatter the friends that will not lead me in the path of righteousness. Scatter them from me. Scatter them from my life. Say, Lord, scatter the people that will not help me progress in this walk with the Lord. Remove them from my life. Lord, bring me good influence. Lead me into the center of good influence. Oh, Lord, I ask of you. I do not want to, disappoint you. I don't want to fall in the day of temptation. That's the prayer I want you to pray this evening. Lord, sanctify my tongue. Let the coal from heaven touch this tongue of mine. Cleanse away my iniquity by it. Cleanse away wrong talking. You know, Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live amongst people of unclean lips. And then the seraphim came. He flew, and he took coal from the altar, and I touched his tongue. And he said, this has touched your tongue. Your iniquity has been removed. He said, Lord, touch my tongue today. So one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips.
and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Pray that prayer. Say, Lord, today, I give you my mouth. Touch it with a coal from heaven, so I will not speak words that would not please you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, all the ones I have spoken, the wrong prophesying that I have prophesied, Lord, in the name of Jesus, clean them away. Wipe them away. Forgive my iniquity. Forgive my iniquity. Say, Lord, I yield myself. Here I am, send me, Lord. Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Send me, Lord. Here I am, send me. I yield myself as an instrument of righteousness. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Quick, let's open to the book of Romans chapter 12. I want us to read that, and we'll begin to close. From verse 1. It said, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? You must change the way you see things. The word mind there describes how you interpret things in life. I want to just drop this one for Christians quickly. It's a major door of the devil into our lives and into our midst. The wrong perspective. The wrong perspective. For example, there is a war in Ukraine. Russia and Ukraine, they are fighting. Yes, we'll do our analysis. What does Zelensky do that's wrong? What's the role of the West and NATO? What is annoying Vladimir Putin? Or has he really gone crazy? Like some people are postulating. That's on the physical dimension. On the spiritual dimension, there's something different to see. War in the realm of the spirit is always a judgment against something that is wrong. I'm talking about changing perspective. In our nation also, we see things. I said it last time, I feel like saying it again. Don't let anybody draw you, please, down this tribal line. Election is coming again. Zone to the north. Or zone to the south. Please, the important thing, okay? When you want to pray, please don't go near that zone to the north or zone to the south thing. Please. Please. I beg in the name of the Lord, don't try it. Your prayer will be rejected by God if you do. That's a matter of fact. When you want to pray, see things from what? A spiritual dimension. Ask the Lord for the thing that you really want. I hope you're getting my point. Let's learn to see things. Let's start seeing the body as one. The progress of the body in southeast is the progress of the body in northwest. I hope you're getting my point. For us, what's most important is the body of Christ. A Fulani Christian is closer to you than the unbeliever from your village. You must see it like that. You don't have an option. If you don't see it like that, God will reject your prayers. That's just the way He is. It's called rightfully discerning the body of Christ. Because if we want revival in the land, we have to start seeing the way God sees things. What the newspapers and the analysts do every day is to try and divide us further, all right, even as a church. Because, you know, I noticed it. Satan knows what many Christians don't know, that he doesn't have power. I hope you're getting my point. His tricks he uses. Say, let me divide their tongue. Let me divide them. Let them not see themselves as one. You know, my family, the portion we read are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he kept on praying, Father, make them one. It was so important to him that they may be one. As you and me are one. I in you. You understand? And you in me. Let them be one. Me in them. Them in me. It was just, everything for him was what? Oneness. Unity. One. One. Well, let's pray that prayer for the body of Christ. But see, I give that charge for us as individuals. He said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Bear that in mind. But let's pray for the church in Nigeria. Say, Lord, let us be one.
And when we are praying this, I want us to, our mind to go towards regional oneness. When I say regional, that is the division by regions. Let it be broken down. The church. Lord, let the Christians in the north and the ones in the south, the ones in the east, the ones in the west, and of course, all denominations. If Jesus could pray it as a prayer, we can also pray it. Say, let us be one. Because until that holiness comes out of the church, the nation is hopeless. Until that holiness of unity comes out of the church, the nation itself is hopeless. Say, Lord, let the church in this nation be one. United in purpose. United in purpose. Let us pray. Everybody lift your voice and say, Lord, let the church in this nation be one. Lord, let the church in this nation be one. Let them be united. Let them be united in purpose. Let them be united in spirit. Let them recognize that Jesus indeed is king over all. And that our main aim is to establish him as king over this nation. In the name of Jesus. You know, this morning I asked my children, please listen to this. I said, what does it mean to be united? What does it mean to be one? So we're just, you know, bring out different things. And we came to the conclusion, of course, after much discussion, that it means to have the same purpose, you know, drive. Give me another one. To have the same culture. Uh-huh. Give me another one. No, let me drop culture for a moment. There's a reason why. Well, values, yes, thank you very much. To have the same goal, so we have the same values, we have the same goals, we have the same expectations, the same vision, thank you. Let's summarize like this. To be looking forward to just the same thing. To be satisfied with the same thing. I hope you're getting my point. In summary for us, is that Jesus will be established in reality as king in this land. That's what's most important to us. Let's pray for another 1 minute. Say, Lord, make the church one. Drive this vision into us. Give us the same spirit. Just as there is one body. Let us recognize whose body we are. It's an important prayer. Say, Lord, let us recognize whose body we are. Oh, this prayer is so important. Jesus prayed it. If he prayed it, that means it's very important. If he prayed it, it means it is very important too. Oh, Father, we give you thanks. Quickly open your Bibles to this. We'll read this one and we'll close with it. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1. We'll read all the way to verse 6. Everybody, 1, 2, let's go. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That is our portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We recognize that there is one body. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We recognize that there is one spirit.
Amen.
We recognize that we have been called in one hope of our calling.
Amen.
We say there is one Lord.
Amen.
We say there is one faith.
Amen.
We say there is one baptism.
Amen.
We say there is one God and Father over all.
Amen.
We say this God and Father is over all, is through all, and is in all of us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's say, Lord, we thank you. Let's say, Lord, we thank you.